children. Hi, and welcome to Cartwheels on the Sky, Poets, Poems, and Discovery. I'm your host, Blake Moore, and tonight, for the next 30 minutes, you're going to get a glimpse into the poems and process of poet Kirk Lumpkin, the longtime Berkeley-based poet activist who moved to Willits a few years ago. But before I share our conversation, I want to tell you a bit about Kirk's background. Kirk Lumpkin is a poet, spoken word, and performance artist, lyricist, and environmentalist. Since moving to Mendocino County in 2016, he has become a California State Certified Naturalist, a singer in the community choir, and a board member of the Willits Environmental Center. Before moving here, he worked at the Ecology Center in Berkeley for over 20 years and was, according to the Bay Area Poet Season Review, an important part of the Bay Area and beyond poetry scene for years, hosting readings in San Francisco and Berkeley, helping to facilitate the Watershed Environmental Poetry Festival with Poetry Flash and former U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Haas, and hosting open mics at Burning Man and beyond. He has most recently been published in the anthology Fire and Rain, Echo Poetry of California, and in Poem in Your Pocket by Berkeley Public Library. The conversation you're about to hear took place a couple of days ago.
Well, hello, Kirk Lumpkin. Welcome to Cartwheels on the Sky. It's so great to have you here with me.
Great to be here, Blake.
Want to start us off with a poem or two?
Yeah. Well, since we are in COVID times, I thought I would start with this one. It's called Epidemic. We are in an epidemic of global warming, an epidemic of homelessness, an epidemic of gun violence, an epidemic of police violence, an epidemic of racism, an epidemic of cancers, an epidemic of extinctions, an epidemic of human overpopulation, an epidemic of incarceration, an epidemic of plastic pollution, an epidemic of economic inequality. But the only epidemic that gets constant coverage on every media outlet, that gets the attention of every organ and level of government, is the COVID-19 coronavirus. Because it's the only epidemic that threatens to stop, or at least slow down, business as usual. And America is sick with its usual business, like a cancerous tumor on the body of the planet, sucking up resources and continually accelerating the producing and selling of more consumer junk that we sell our lives to buy more of, thinking, this is what the economy needs. Listen. We should not measure the health of an economy by the price of corporate shares and the gross national product. A healthy economy is one that sustains the well-being and happiness of the people who use it. We'd be better off with a lot less, but better things that we have time to be grateful for. And with less job time and more time for our partners, friends, family, community to get to know and care for the places we live in, to be quiet sometimes and chill out and slow this fevered madness down.
Slow it down, brother.
Fantastic. You know, that's kind of a rant. So I thought I should change gears a little.
Okay.
And I told you, Blake, that I was in Gualala recently. And what brought me there was on my wife's birthday, we went to visit her mom, my mother-in-law, who lives near Gualala. And for my wife's birthday, I wrote her this poem, which is a sincere love poem with some humor in it. It's called Love Onion. I respect you, my love, but I have to say, I won't compare you to a summer's day, and also not to the flowers of spring or to numerous other beautiful things. For the praise of beauty comes too easy, unlike the love that makes we from you and me. For what you bring to our loving union, I would compare you to an onion. With your many-layered, complex flavor, you enrich my life with your fine savor. You are a root, helps keep me grounded. By your sense of wonder, I'm still astounded. Though I am pleased, you're lovely looking. It's your deep taste that keeps us cooking. Through all these years, it still is clear that in my life, you've been worth the tears. This is for you, my dearest one. This is for you, my darling onion.
That's lovely. I love all that Shakespearean start off there. That was great.
A little, you see, a brief side allusion to the Bard's work, Shakespeare.
Yes. Did she like the poem? Was she happy?
Yes,
with it?
She did.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Was.
The partner of a poet, she gets poems written for her all the time, I'm certain, and they're all different expressions and ideas coming through that sometimes I know that I've had people say to me, oh, God, it's really hard. Don't write a poem about this or something like that.
Actually, Lynn doesn't get a lot of poems. There's some songs. I mean, they're there, but there aren't lots and lots of them. The love poem is not my best genre.
Well, you're very much more of an environmental, political, social activist type of poet. At least that's how I would put you. What would you say?
Yeah, I think those are that's a fair. I mean, I write all kinds of things, mm-hmm. and try to write in many different styles. I mean, one of these things was kind of a rant. The other one is a rhyming, although it's a loose form. It is a rhyming and couplets thing, and yeah, whatever else. The other piece I know I'm going to do is more what I would call these days a spoken word piece.
And you are very much a spoken word artist. If anyone has ever seen Kirk, he's come and done Third Thursday poetry for us in the past, especially when we were doing the poetry and jazz as part of the Redwood Coast Jazz Festival, and many of your poems are memorized and done in a performance style that blends very well with music, and in fact, you often work with music in your previous incarnation more than the current incarnation as someone who once lived in Berkeley for many, many years and just recently moved to the county, right? You're now in Willits.
Well, actually, I worked in Berkeley for more than 20 years, but I only lived there a short time, but lived in the Bay Area for a very long time. Don't have my musicians up here, but some point, I hope, within the next year, we're going to release another recording. But for the time being, COVID's in the way of that, and so I'm not seeing them. And
right.
One of the things in performance that's happened in my time in Mendo is that I've introduced costumes into what I do. And that has taken the performance thing kind of into another level. And
there's
a piece that I'm going
to do that.
Yeah, and then this piece, you're going to hear a piece that I usually do in costume. But, well, you won't get to see the costume.
But you'll describe the costume so we can hear it on radio, correct?
Well, a bit. It's, it's called, the piece is called I Am Fire. And it's got some, things that hang around and sparkle and are like flames. And anyway, and then I've got these, I have two that I've taken out that are wraps that are done from the perspective of one, a Steller's Jay, and the other, a Scrub Jay, which are not things I expected I would ever get into, plus that I do them in a costume, is And I've got a Raven's Wrap, which is the new thing, and that will have a costume as well. And I've got a spoken word coyote piece that's going to have a costume. So anyway,
Amanda surprised me. Are you making your own costumes?
No, I'm not.
You've got some amazing for you.
I've got mostly I've been helped by a woman in Willett and Ursula Parch. She's a fabric artist. But I've also gotten my fire piece was mostly came in costume from Rosamund Crowder, who didn't make it for me, but she has done a lot of costuming, giant puppet work. And anyway, she had a lot of costume stuff lying around. She helped me repurpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, can we just go backwards for a second and talk about you and who you are and how poetry expresses itself in your life?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to go too far. Well, let me just say just because this last October, I went back to my 50th high school reunion in Indiana, where the highlight was that I got to do a poetry reading in my high school auditorium, where 50 years before I had done my very first poetry reading of my life.
Wow, that's pretty big.
That was a cool thing to, you know, and I got to read to both current students and some of my former classmates. Anyway, that was very cool.
And where did you go to school?
It was Burroughs High School. It was the laboratory school of the university, and my dad was teaching at the college.
Okay.
It was actually, academically, it was a really good thing to do, even though it was Indiana. But I'd lived in California till I was 12, spent my junior high and high school years in Indiana, then moved back to California to go to college, and have been in California for almost all the time. It's a little more complicated than that.
Uh-huh.
I lived in the Bay Area for about 45 years. And anyway, that from my beginning of my 20s to midway into my 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was, you know, a great, you know, great place to hear great poets. And, you know, it's a very open place to where it's easy to be creative.
Right, and poetry anyway. Very much a through line in your life.
Yeah, never quit. You know, I mean, it's taken, you know, there are times when I've done it a lot with music. I've moved into this costuming thing. There's been times when I hosted readings.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a thread that's help hold it all together.
Well, I know you were part of the anthology that came out in California that was done by Molly Fisk, Fire and Rain, Echo Poetry of California, that kind of looks at the climate change and California particularly. You had a poem you wanted to share about that too, didn't you?
You know, I'm not going to share one of those poems.
Mm.
Actually, Molly's in it. She was not the editor. I did want to do a brief shout out to Maureen Epstein, who you had on the air with me to do a little bit of reading from Fire and Rain,
mm-hmm.
Eco Poetry of California. Because Maureen, who lives near Mendocino, is going through some cancer treatment. So, I want to send love and healing energy in her direction.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Anyway, that anthology has been you know, one, it's totally right for my work, or a great portion of my work, but it's also allowed me to do a bunch of readings that I wouldn't have gotten to do otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them got canceled for the COVID. I was going to read in Chico and Grass Valley and Nevada City, and all those got canceled. Or hopefully they will be rescheduled.
Uh-huh.
I just want to take a quick second and let you know you're listening to Cartwheels on the Sky. This is Blake Moore talking with poet Kirk Lumpkin.
Well, maybe I should do this next piece, which is about fire in California.
Okay, I guess I assume that piece was part of that anthology, but this is a different piece. But
it's okay. Actually, it's probably longer than anything in that anthology.
Okay.
it's again, it's more of a spoken word performance piece than a than something that that works that well. I would in a book. I mean, I certainly hope it would, but it was developed to perform. It's called I Am Fire, so it's pretty clear who I'm trying to speak as. One little side note, which refer to something within the poem, but relates to some reading I did recently, that since 1972, the fire season here is now 75 days longer than it was in 1972, which is another way to think about it is that that's about 10 weeks or 2.5 months longer fire season. Anyway, so here's I Am Fire. I am fire. I am the dance of energy releasing in flames. I'm a shifter of shapes, a changer of form, a recycler of nutrients, a composter, an elemental force of destruction, cleansing, and rebirth. And just because you have matches or a lighter or other means of getting me started doesn't mean I am your slave, servant, or pet. Don't get too close to me. I can always burn you, but I am not your enemy. Though I have killed your heroes many times, that was not my intention. I have no intentions. But you humans and I have a long shared history. Some of your kind have even said it was your relationship with me that first made you fully human, that sets you apart from the other animals. For countless generations beyond memory, your ancestors gathered round me for warmth, protection, cooking, and light. And they stared for hour after hour at the ever-changing stories of my living tongues of flame, firing their imaginations long, long before you started staring at screens. My old partner, Lightning, first connected us. Lightning and I go way back, you might say, all the way the beginning. I have always been an important part of evolving the life of this place. All of the beings native here have adapted to me as a permanent part of the world they live in. The first peoples of this place used me for cooking and heating, much like you did. But they also worked with me in what you call nature. Burning to keep meadows open, to preserve oak woodlands, to encourage the growth of plants they used, and much more. Including fighting fire with fire by burning around their villages to protect them. Your big problems with me in forests and other wildlands started with logging and suppressing me. Back when there were vast expanses of old-growth evergreen forests and oak woodlands, there were more large, widely spaced trees. And I passed through many times, leaving behind me more benefits than damage. But after years of overlogging and suppressing me, forests are clogged with lots of tiny, spindly trees. Then add to that longer fire seasons, more frequent droughts, areas riddled with dried up trees, killed by wood-boring insects, and invasions of highly flammable non-native grasses, all leading to more catastrophic infernos with 100-foot flames in the treetops. Depress me too long, and you'll be sorry. This is not a threat, just the truth. When I go wild, you do not want to be there. You humans are so very smart, but you start to act like the laws of nature no longer apply to you. But I am fire. And I am telling you that the laws of nature still apply to you. And I have to say, Smokey the Bear is a cartoon. And real bears know that though I am dangerous, I am not evil. I am always true to my own nature, though I act very differently in different situations. As in the wild world, I burn very differently in grasslands, conifer forests, oak woodlands, chaparral. And in your human world, I have so many very different roles. I'm the heat in your wood stove, the internal combustion in your car engine, your collaborator on delicious food, the blast of a blowtorch, and the gentle pulse of a candle. And though when I am very small, it takes barely a breath to blow me out, when I am just a little bigger, the wind moves me and spreads me and blows me up. You should know by now to beware the Diablo winds, the Santa Ana winds, hot, dry winds coming out of the east, sweeping down from the mountains, their hot breath whipping my flames, exploding through the chaparral. And when I am big enough and hot enough, now I make my own wind, with powerful whirling flaming vortexes and pyrocumulus clouds of smoke. I am fire. And if you want to be safe in your human world, use me for prescribed burns, or at least mimic with me with thinning for one way or another. The thinning will come. Because I have always been here, and I will always be here. But in this changing environment, in this changing climate, I am changing too. Are you?
Thank you, Kirk Lumpkin. We are, believe it or not, out of time. Is it possible for you to just give us a quick how to find you online or someplace else?
Well, there's www.kirklumpkin.com, which is in not very up-to-date at the moment, but hopefully we'll get there in the not-too-distant future.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before I say goodbye?
I guess not, Blake. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you so much for the gifts you bring into the world through your voice and your passion, and I cannot wait to see you do a piece in costume. I'm really looking forward to the next incarnation of Kirk Lumpkin.
All right. Well, I look forward to the next time our paths cross.
Yes. Thanks for joining the county and now being another Mendocino poet.
All right.
Good company. All right. Take care.
All right. And that is Kirk Lumpkin, poet who now lives in Willits. And I want to remind you that you can catch replays of this show as well as all the other Cartwheels on the Sky at bemoreyou.net. That's the letter B, M-O-R-E-Y-O-U.net, in the listen section. I'm really glad you tuned in tonight. Thank you so much. This is Blake Moore with Cartwheels on the Sky. Plan on being back next week with Devro Baker or Teresa Whitehill, two fabulous lady poets here in Mendocino County. I'm going to take us out with Kirk Lumpkin doing his poem Why at the Beat Museum in North Beach during their annual poetry festival.
It's called Why. You don't grow up. You just give up when you quit asking why. Don't you know that you better keep alive? Keep alive. Well, don't you know that you better keep alive? Keep alive. The question, why? Ask why, because it helps to inform us both, you and I. Ask why, because every time you don't, there's a little bit you die. Ask why, because there'll always be more to which it will apply. Ask why, because it can help you focus with your own eye. Ask why, because it can help you understand the place you occupy. Ask why, because there is so much junk they want us to buy. Ask why, because it can help you deal with what makes you cry. Ask why, because police have made another unarmed black man die. Ask why, because it helps to tell the difference between truth and lie. Ask why, because there's so much you won't learn if this you do not try. Ask why, because those that think they run the world want you to be shy. Ask why, because you cannot trust a government that on you spies. Ask why, because without incisive questions, things rigidify. Ask why, because it's the kind of word that you can make your ally. Ask why, because they'll want to go to war and many innocents will die. Ask why, because wonder isn't childish, it's the original high. Ask why, because answers light you up like you're a firefly. Ask why. You don't grow up. You just give up when you quit asking why. Hey. Don't you know that you better keep alive? Keep alive. Keep alive. Well, don't you know that you better keep alive? Keep alive. The question, why? Ask why.
Yes.